This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. So inshallah, the topic I've chosen to speak about today is regarding the strength of a Muslimah. And the reason I've chosen to speak about this topic is, you know, because one of the things we're seeing in these times is that, you know, a lot of sisters, you know, I feel that they're feeling very confused about what defines femininity in Islam. And, you know, on the one hand, we have that age-old narrative of the Orientalists who have constantly always told us that, you know, to be a Muslim woman means you're supposed to be, you know, weak and subjected. But then on the other hand, you know, we can't deny that amongst Muslims, there are those who've also, you know, given many Muslim women the idea that to be a good Muslimah, you know, basically means that, you know, number one, you put up with however you're treated. And number two, that you then also shouldn't speak about that, you know, as if it's not from the way of, you know, a Muslimah to, you know, to speak up on issues and to have a voice or opinion, you know, rather, you know, she should just stay silent and not complain or, you know, highlight any issues that she's going through. So this is how we find that, you know, unfortunately, you know, many in the Muslim Ummah, unfortunately, are helping to feed into the, you know, the narrative that's, you know, playing into the minds of many Muslim women, that to be, you know, a good Muslim woman means to be in a position of, you know, passiveness and weakness. And sometimes as a reaction to this, we then see some sisters, you know, turning to other false ideologies, you know, seeking the strength that they should actually have found in Islam and within the Muslim community in the first place, right? So unfortunately, you know, instead of finding the strength that they should have found within Islam and within the Muslim community in the first place, we find that they end up as a reaction to their, you know, the way they've been treated and things like this, they end up, you know, turning to other false ideologies. So that's why, dear sisters, it's, you know, important that each and every one of us does take back the true narrative that Allah Ta'ala gave us of what it means to be, you know, a Muslim woman. And one of the best ways to do this is to simply look at all of the examples that Allah Ta'ala gave us of female role models throughout history. You know, because there's not one of them. If you look at all of them, you think about them, think about, you know, the Sahabiyat, you know, think about all of the examples Allah gave us. There's not one of them except you see the strength and bravery and unwavering iman that they had. And just to, you know, give you some quick examples, because I know all of you know many, but, you know, you think about Hajar, you know, radiallahu anha, you know, imagine, you know, being left in the middle of the desert with nothing, subhanAllah. Of course, Allah Ta'ala was doing that for a higher purpose, a purpose that was higher than both herself and Ibrahim and Ismail, you know, alayhi salam. But, you know, what's Hajar's reaction to that? What's Hajar's reaction to being left in that absolutely, you know, destitute situation? She says to, you know, when she, you know, she, as Ibrahim alayhi salam is walking away from her, you know, of course he doesn't look back because he knows if he looks at his wife, the emotions will overtake him, and he knows he has to fulfill this command of Allah Ta'ala. So what does Hajar say to him? Allahu alladhi amaraka bi hadha ya Ibrahim. Ibrahim, is this, you know, is Allah Ta'ala the one who's ordered you to do this, Ibrahim? And all he says is na'am. And so she says, idhan la yudai'una. Then Allah Ta'ala will never cause us to be lost. So just look at the unwavering bravery of Hajar, you know, how she faces that destitute situation with absolute bravery and yaqeen. Also, if you think about Asiya, you know, when the situation when Fir'aun comes and tells her how he's gone and tortured to death the hairdresser of the royal, you could call her the royal hairdresser, and her five children, he tortured them to death. Why? All because she said, Rabbi Allah. And so we see the reaction of Asiya. It's not a passive and submissive one. She doesn't, you know, react to this news in a passive and submissive way in the face of, you know, when she hears this injustice. Rather, what does she do? You know, she stands up to Fir'aun and she says to him, Al-waylu lak, you know, woe to you. Ma adra'aka ala Allah. How daring are you and how bold are you in the sight of Allah, right? And so then, because of her reaction, he's so shocked with her reaction. He says to her, you know, it seems that you've gone crazy just like the, you know, just like the hairdresser went crazy as well. And then she tells him straightforward, you know, in a straightforward manner, I have not gone, you know, I have not lost my mind. I'm not crazy, but rather, amantu billahi ta'ala, you know, I have believed in Allah, Rabbil Alameen. I have believed in Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And that's when Fir'aun, you know, orders for her to be tied up and beaten, all because, why? Because she says, Rabbi Allah. So, you know, and subhanAllah, so Allah, and we know the rest of the story. And similar to this also, as you know, Allah Ta'ala, subhanAllah, who did he make the first martyr in Islam? Sumayyah. You know, Sumayyah, subhanAllah, radiallahu anha. And we know how she's taken out into the hot desert sun and, you know, and subhanAllah, tied up and you know, and subhanAllah, impaled until she, you know, subhanAllah, radiallahu anha wa radaha, you know, she's impaled to death. So we need, that's why, my dear sisters, we need to ask ourselves, you know, when you reflect upon all of these examples, and there's so many more, as you know, you know, ask yourselves, where are the examples in our Islamic literature of weak women? You know, every single one of these examples are like pillars of, you know, strength, pillars of bravery and strength. You know, even if you think about Khadija, radiallahu anha, who's the one who was the pillar of strength in supporting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his moment of vulnerability, you know, in which he feared his own sanity. You know, subhanAllah, like that moment when Jibreel alayhi salam comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the first time and says, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq," you know, read in the name of Allah, the Lord who created, you know, created. And subhanAllah, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when this happened to him, he didn't actually know what's going on with himself. You know, it was obviously, yani, imagine such a situation, you know, and he goes back to Khadija radiallahu anha, you know, trembling. He doesn't know what's happening to himself, but who's the one who stands next to him in that moment of vulnerability, you know? And what does Khadija radiallahu anha say? How does she face that situation with complete calmness, you know, and saying, "Kalla abshir," you know? No. Seek the good news. For wallahi, la yukhzika Allahu abada. You know, wallahi, Allah, you know, I swear by Allah, Allah will never cause you to be disgraced ever. You know, subhanAllah, you're a person who you maintain the blood ties. You know, you're honest in your speech and upright in your speech. You support the weak and the oppressed, and you're generous to the guest. You know, subhanAllah, so Allah Ta'ala will never cause you to be humiliated or to be lost. So, you know, and subhanAllah too, if you'll also, you know, reflect upon the many women throughout, especially the times of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know, the Khulafa ar-Rashidin, if you reflect upon their examples about how they would, you know, speak up, they would ask questions, they would even sometimes openly refute certain statements made by male Sahaba, and no one in those times would tell her, you know, don't speak like that because you're a woman, for example, or you know, no one would call her a feminist, for example, for asking for her rights in Islam. And an example of this, you know, a good example of this is if you look at what happened during the Khalifa, the time of the Khalifa of Umar radiallahu anhu, when, you know, he was standing on the pulpit, and, you know, he gave a talk to the, you know, to the companions and all those who were present, and he wanted to restrict the amount of mahar because he found people going to excesses in the amount of dowry they were giving to the women. And, you know, and he wanted to put a restriction on this because it was getting out of control. And so subhanAllah, when he left the minbar, one of the women, you know, she came up to him and she said to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, oh leader of the believers, haven't you heard that Allah Ta'ala sent down in the Quran, وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. And if you had given one of them a qintar in an amount of gold, then don't take any of that back. And, you know, she said, and al-qintar, you know, al-qintar is a very large amount, is a very large amount of gold. And so, subhanAllah, when this woman spoke up, you know, and said this to Umar radiallahu anhu, his reaction, as is reported in some narrations, is that he said, you know, verily, verily, a woman has arrived at the truth while Umar has erred. You know, Umar has made a mistake, subhanAllah. So this is the humbleness we see in the Sahaba, you know, like it's never about gender, it's about the truth. That's what we should be concerned about and be focused upon. So sisters, it's from looking at, you know, the examples that Allah Ta'ala gave us, you know, looking at all these examples that we learn, you know, the true meaning of femininity, in Islam and, you know, what defines the personality of a Muslimah. And like I said, you know, there's not one example that Allah Ta'ala has given us of a believing woman, except you find she was like a pillar of strength and yaqeen, subhanAllah. So, you know, for us to properly understand the meaning of being a strong Muslimah, it's very important. I just want to, before I go on, you know, I want to also say that for us to, you know, properly understand the meaning of being a strong Muslimah, it's important we also understand what being strong isn't. Okay, because sometimes when we go through certain things, we might, you know, go back in the opposite direction of what, you know, what being strong isn't. So it's important we understand what being strong isn't so that we don't fall into any type of extreme. So like number one, what we can say is, you know, being strong does not mean we have to adopt, for example, aggressive feminism, for example, right? And the way we could define this is we see the reaction of some, you know, that where you basically reject any need of men, you know, where you have beliefs where all men are basically framed as being almost like our enemies and being part of the patriarchy, you know. So we have to realize that, you know, in Islam, you know, men and women are not supposed to be enemies to each other. Like Allah Ta'ala created both men and women to complement one another. And, you know, one of the things that Allah Ta'ala tells us is that, you know, the way we're supposed to look at men, you know, our perception of men is that, you know, men are our allies. They are allies who, you know, they back us up, they support us. And so just as we work to support them, like we would need to work hand in hand. It's very clear in our teachings, you know, in both the Quran and Sunnah, but, you know, look at the ayah in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. You know, like that the believing men and the believing women, they are awliya to each other. They're helpers and supporters of each other. So we cannot be successful. You know, we're not going to be successful in, you know, overcoming our difficulties, overcoming our problems in our ummah until we learn to work together. We can't be working against each other. And, you know, it's very important that we do acknowledge that many sisters have had bad experiences, you know, sometimes even traumatic experiences with men, unfortunately. And, you know, but what I want to say here is that it's very important that we don't allow those bad experiences to cause us to then fall into like a type of, you could call it victim mentality, where we basically blame all men for what we've suffered, right? So if you look at what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, you know, he told us that there will always be those who uphold justice in this ummah, right? There's always going to be those who uphold the truth and uphold justice in this ummah, like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "La tazalu ta'ifa min ummati ala al-haq," that they'll always remain a group from amongst my ummah upon the truth. Okay, so that's why, my dear sisters, you know, in particular, I'm talking to you, you know, we shouldn't lose hope. We should not lose hope and think that, you know, there's no good men out there anymore. Like, I do hear that a lot, where people say there's no good men out there anymore. You know, the reality is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us there's always going to be, you know, amongst this ummah, those men in this ummah who genuinely care and respect and stand up for the rights of women. Okay, so, you know, we've got to, it comes down to, like I said, that we've got to realize that the only way we're ever going to be able to solve all these problems that's happening in our homes and outside our homes, you know, the issues that we're having, we're not going to be able to solve these until we learn to work together with our men and, you know, not against them. It's very important. So another thing here too I wanted to mention is that, you know, being strong does not mean that you need to also make, you know, men as our standard of what represents strength. Okay, so what does that mean? You know, basically, why do we have to act and behave like men and think that that's the only way that we can be strong, right? And if you look at what, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he showed us that, you know, that for men to imitate women and for women to imitate men, this is something that's denounced. It's something denounced in Islam. You know, basically we can say that gender is something clearly defined in Islam. And so whatever is, the way I can, you know, explain this is that, you know, whatever is considered to be like an exclusive trait of the way that men behave, then women should not be, you know, trying to imitate that. And just as men should not, you know, imitate women in their exclusive traits either. right? So how does that translate, you know, to think that you need to lose your femininity in order to be seen as strong? You know, why do we have to lose our femininity in order to be seen as strong? Okay, so like, subhanAllah, going back to those examples I gave you before, we just looked at all these very feminine examples of strength. So, you know, if you think about that strength, you know, and think about, for example, the strength of Aisha, think about the strength of Khadija, radiallahu anhumah, you know, they didn't need to go around acting like Umar ibn Khattab in order for them to be, you know, respected and taken seriously. All right, so like I said, the key is not for us to, you know, take men as our standard of what it needs to be strong. Rather, all we need to do is basically search within our own gender to find those examples of true strength. And inshallah, at the end of my talk, I'm actually going to go through some, you know, practical tips on how we can, you know, strengthen ourselves, inshallah. All right, another point too that I wanted to mention is that, you know, being strong does not actually mean being aggressive in general. I mean, and this is for men and women both. It's not just for women, you know. And we see that the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he says, "Laysa shadidu bisurah," you know, like that the shadid, the strong person, is not the one who lets himself get angry quickly, right? And he's tries to show, you know, his wrestling through his anger and things like that, and becoming aggressive through his anger. But innama shadidu alladhi yamliku nafsa, like the strong one, yani the strong person is in fact the one who's able to, they're able to control themselves, عند الغضب. They're able to control themselves when they get angry, right? So, you know, in fact, I'm going to talk about that in a while too, you know, being assertive is far stronger than being like an aggressive person, okay? So there's no need for a person, you know, you don't show your strength through swearing, you don't show your strength through being rude to others, you don't show your strength, through, you know, oppressing others. That's not the way to show strength. That's not strength. Okay. So this is where we have to make sure we don't fall into things that go the opposite of what strength means. Another thing as well is, you know, being strong does not mean acting opposite to al-haya, right? And it's important for us to define al-haya, because some people think al-haya is just, you know, putting on hijab. It's, you know, they think that's al-haya, but you know, what is al-haya? Basically, it is a type of khuluq. It's a mannerism that, you know, prevents a person from basically saying or doing anything that's like considered to be vulgar or not a befitting of the personality of a believer. All right, that's what's al-haya. That's how we define al-haya. And this is exactly why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha lam tastahi fasna ma shit." Like, if you don't, like, because if a person doesn't even feel embarrassed in front of Allah, and they don't even feel embarrassed in front of the people, then do whatever you want, because basically you've lost your self-respect. Okay, you've lost your self-respect. So having al-haya is about respecting yourself, and through respecting yourself, others respect you through that. Okay, but, you know, when, you know, so we have to understand that, you know, being strong does not mean you start acting in a way where you lose your haya, you lose your that dignity, you lose that respectability, okay? And sometimes, and here we should mention, I'll give you some examples to sort of clarify this more. You know, sometimes we'll find that, obviously Khadija radiallahu anha, for example, she was a huge example to us, you know, of a powerful and strong woman, right? There's no doubt that she was a strong woman, and, you know, she was a businesswoman, all those things, but it's important that we don't then, you know, unfortunately some people do this, where they basically wrongly use her example to support what they're doing, which is actually going outside the bounds of Sharia, right? So, for example, they might say, you know, like, you know, they're mixing with men without placing appropriate boundaries, without acting in a refined manner and a dignified manner and things like that, right? And you can't use Khadija radiallahu anha to support that type of, like, behavior that is, you know, basically taking you out without outside the bounds of Sharia. Because if you look at the reality is that, you know, Khadija radiallahu anha was only ever known to have the highest level of respectability and virtue in her way of interacting with the opposite gender. Okay, so, and that was even before Islam, subhanAllah. So it's important that we don't start to confuse, you know, these issues. And, you know, if you look at what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us, he said, al-haya wal iman quranaa jami'an, right? So that al-haya and al-iman, both modesty and iman, they are companions to each other. فَإِذَا رَفَعَ أَحَدُهُمَا رَفَعَ الْآخَرِ. Like, if one of them is raised, the other is raised. And what I mean by that is when someone practices al-haya, okay, when they practice al-haya, they stay away from everything that is considered to be not the fitting of a believer in the way you speak, in the way that you, you know, behave, in the way you, you know, the things you do, then you'll find your iman will go up. You'll be protected from a lot of sins by that as well, right? And similarly, if we act the opposite of that, you'll find the iman will go down too, because you'll end up going into doubtful matters. You'll end up going into, you know, saying things which, you know, can end up taking you into the haram, or, you know, actions which are haram. So that's what we need to keep in mind as well. Now, on the other side, okay, there's another extreme as well, which is unfortunately very widespread in the Muslim community. And that is that, you know, a lot of women, unfortunately, they think that, you know, being strong means basically staying in a relationship that jeopardizes your spiritual connection to Allah, right? And unfortunately, you see, we see a lot of cases where women are staying in relationships where basically their spiritual connection to Allah is completely jeopardized. They can't even pray anymore because they're so distant from Allah through what they're going through. Some of them are placing their lives in danger, their mental state in danger. So, you know, unfortunately, we do see a lot of cases of domestic violence. I don't know how the case is around the world, but here in Australia, you know, working on the ground, we have a lot of these cases, and a lot of women, they keep on sort of staying within these relationships, which it's like they're so distant from Allah, they don't even know how to half the time pray. That's how desperate the situation has become. And obviously we know that from the Maqasid al-Sharia that, you know, we have to place our deen first. Our deen has to always come first no matter what. So we have to realize that that's not being strong. Being strong is not just, you know, placing your deen at risk, placing your life at risk, your mental state, these things, right? And I'm talking about genuine cases here, not just people making that as an excuse, right? So, and then the other thing too that a lot of women fall into as well is like, you know, being strong does not mean letting people, you know, walk all over your self-esteem and to disrespect and take advantage of you. And then you say, well, you know, I'm being patient and I'm being strong by just putting up with that, right? So that's actually not strong, you know? So strength, you know, just to understand what is strength, you know, strength is, you know, basically what our deen teaches us is, you know, you need to learn to take action to do whatever is in your power, you know, to change your situation for the better. If we look at Hajar, radiallahu anha, you know, she didn't just sit there and give in to her circumstances, right? She gave it all she had to, you know, try to change her situation for the better, while, of course, having full tawakkul and you know, trust and yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala, right? So it's important that we learn that we need to take control of our situation and try to look for the ways that we can bring about better change for ourselves. And, you know, and not just give in to situations and think that it's being strong by doing so, because we put a lot of people at risk, including ourselves. So always realize that, you know, even if it's just one small step that you can take towards change, to, you know, bring about positive change and improve your situation, then you should look into that, you know, whether it's going to a psychologist, going to a counselor, reaching out and getting that emotional support you need to strengthen yourself, inshallah, in your situation. Okay, so I want to just go back to talking about, you know, looking at all those different extremes, those different extremes of what a lot of people kind of get into in regards to what they think is being a strong, you know, being strong. We need to realize that Islam gives us the balance, right? Islam is what gives us the balance between these different extremes that we see happening in, you know, amongst sisters. And that's exactly why, you know, Islam is known as Deen al-Wasatiya, right? Islam is known as the religion of moderation. Well, i'tidal, you know, the religion of moderation, the religion of balance. So whenever you see extremes going on, know that Islam is somewhere in the middle. It's never this way and it's never that way. It's somewhere smack in the middle. And you've got to look for that moderate path always, okay? So let's define what is the strong Muslimah? You know, let's define that. Like, you know, what does it mean? You know, you're strong in your haya, you're strong in your modesty, you're strong in your dignity and your respectability. You know, you're holding, you know, you hold strong and tightly onto your Islamic principles. You hold firmly onto your, you know, Islamic manners and morals. You know, you're strong in not giving into your nafs, right? You're strong in not giving into your nafs. You're strong in not following your desires and or following the crowd and being a people pleaser, right? That's not strength, right? Another thing, you know, you're strong in raising your voice, in enjoining the good and forbidding the evil and speaking up against injustice and oppression, okay? That's women as well, right? And this is the type of strength that we need to revive in the women of our ummah, right? We need to revive this particular strength in the women of our ummah. Like, if you look at what Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Tawbah, through the Tawbah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ. Like I read before, right? But what does he say? So the believing men and the believing women, they are awliya to each other. They're protectors and supporters of each other, right? But then what? What's their job? يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Right? That they enjoin al-ma'ruf. They enjoin whatever is good, whatever is justice, okay? Whatever is the haqq, whatever is the truth. وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And they forbid whatever is, you know, whatever is, you know, considered to be against what Allah and His Messenger came with. Whatever is considered to be injustice. You know, anything that goes against what the Sharia came with and the main purpose of Sharia, you know, like the goals of Sharia, then we need to be working together to you know, denounce these things and speak up about them together, right? So if we look at what Allah, you know, shows us in this ayah, He's showing us that He wants all of us to be strong in standing up for the truth and enjoining it together, not just one and leaving the other one silent and passive, right? So, you know, it's very clear that Allah Ta'ala, you know, never said that it was only for men, okay? Allah Ta'ala does not want, the reality is that Allah Ta'ala does not want for any of us except to be strong, okay? He wants us all to be strong. Why? Because think about Allah's, from Allah Ta'ala's beautiful names and attributes, He is Al-Qawi, right? Allah Ta'ala is Al-Qawi, and He loves the mu'min who is Qawi. Allah loves the mu'min who is strong. Yani, she's qawiya, right? But of course, in the Islamic definition of that, not like I told you before, right? So if you look what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he tells us, al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allahi min al-mu'min al-da'if. So that the strong mu'min is more better and more loved to Allah Ta'ala than the weak mu'min. Even though there's khayr in both, of course there's khayr, there's goodness in both, but Allah loves the strong. All right, so this is, I'm already defined to you what the image of what is the strong mu'mina or the strong Muslima, inshallah. May Allah help us all to be there, because none of us are strong, my dear sisters, without the help of Allah. And that's what we're going to now talk about. I'm going to give you some tips, inshallah, on how we can try to strengthen ourselves. You know, look, I'll be honest with you, I don't usually do these live talks, okay? I don't know, for some reason I'm very happy and comfortable speaking in front of a public audience. But when it comes to doing live talks like this, I just feel like I don't know who's out there, who's listening to me. But I said to myself, if I'm going to be talking about a strong Muslimah, I need to try to step up and be like that. Yani, I can't, you know, what does Allah say? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. You know, like, why do you say what you don't do? So I thought, if I'm going to talk about this, I need to actually implement this myself, right? So, alhamdulillah. Anyway, but let me go back to how we can, you know, build our inner strength. All right, obviously there's so much to mention here. We probably could take days talking about this, but I'm just going to try to mention a few really vital points that can help you. So number one, don't expect to be strong if you're not seeking it from Al-Qawi Al-Aziz, right? If you want to be strong, don't expect to be strong if you're not seeking that strength from Al-Qawi, from the most strong, Al-Aziz, the most mighty, right? Don't expect to be strong and have strong yaqeen and strong certainty and tawakkul in Allah if you're not constantly focused each day on maintaining your connection to Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, that's the number one. You have to be firmly ground, right? And you have to be working on that always. It's not something like, oh, I can just work on it in Ramadan, or work on my connection with Allah Ta'ala in Ramadan, but the rest of the year, I just let everything fall apart, okay? So obviously there's so much here, but yani, number one is the prayers, okay? How on earth would we expect our foundation in Al-Islam to be strong if we're not, we're not focused on our prayers? Because imagine the Messenger of Allah even told us that, what are the prayers? What do they represent? Amud al-Din. They are Amud al-Islam, right? So the prayers are actually the foundation of our whole religion, okay? So, and the way I usually describe this to sisters, I say to them, if you were to build a house, okay, and you don't make the foundation firm, no matter how beautiful that house is up the top, all it's going to take is for one big gust of wind to come and the whole thing's going to fall apart. Why? Because you didn't make your foundation strong. So don't expect to have that strength like Khadija, like Aisha, Hajar, right? When you're not like focusing on being constant in your prayers, praying your prayers on time and being diligent about that, because that, you won't gain the strength without being close to Allah, right? So that's number one. So I say to sisters, if you don't feel strong for some particular reason, if you're feeling a bit vulnerable in, practicing religion or whatever that is, have a look at your prayers, see how much you're trying to, be careful with praying your prayers on time, because it makes a huge difference, okay? The second thing, obviously, as well, is doing a lot of dhikr of Allah and doing your adhkar, in the morning and the evening is very important. Like, it really does strengthen you. I mean, look, what do you get out of constantly remembering Allah? You're realigning your purpose always, right? You're realigning your mind to be thinking about what is the most important thing I should be working towards, right? Okay, working towards Allah and the akhirah, that is my number one goal I should be always worried about, right? And that's what gives you the strength. When you know that that's your goal, that helps you to overcome a lot of obstacles that, can come in your mind and make you have all this like waswasa, negative thoughts that you think that you can't overcome your situation, okay? And if you look at what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said about Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he was so amazed by his teacher Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah. Like, he couldn't believe how this scholar was able to, the amount of books he was able to read, the things he was able to write, how he would be able to sit for hours giving, giving his fatwa, teaching the ummah, all of these things. He was just amazed with it, subhanAllah. But the interesting thing is, look at what Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah used to pay attention to, right? In the morning, after Fajr, he used to take that time out to, do his dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. He would sit there and remember Allah. In fact, it's mentioned he would remember Allah for a long time in the morning, okay? And then if he was asked, why do you do that? He would say, hadihi ghadawti, this is my nourishment. This is like my fuel or my nourishment. And if I don't nourish myself, if I don't take hadal ghada, if I don't take this nourishment, lasaqathat quwwati, my strength would go. Because where's my strength ultimately from? My strength is ultimately from Allah Azza wa Jal. So with Allah, you can do amazing things that you wouldn't be able to do by yourself, subhanAllah. So this is something to keep in mind, that you want to be strong and you want to be able to overcome your obstacles. You need to turn to Allah and gain that strength from Him. And then the other thing which we have to mention in this part, is you've got to be also close to the Quran. Why did Allah send the Quran, my dear sisters and brothers? For us to be strong, it's a tool to use in this life. Like, don't you think Allah knew there's going to be so many... We're going to be tried with so many different tests and tribulations. But Allah gave us those things to help us overcome those things and to be strong in the face of all of that, right? And you look at what Allah Ta'ala said to Yahya. Ya Yahya, khudhi al-kitaba biquwwah. Hold on to the revelation with quwwah. Hold on to it with strength. Because when you do that, when you hold on to the revelation, both in the way you pay attention to reciting it, memorizing it, and especially acting upon it, that's what gives you the strength. You get the strength from Allah Ta'ala through that, okay? So moving on, so like I said, the first thing to pay attention to is realize that you can't be strong unless you're with Allah. Allah is the one who gives you the strength, right? But then secondly, the other thing too is learn to live to please Allah alone, right? Learn to live to please Allah alone. And this has to be, honestly, one of the most empowering principles to live by. If you can understand this and start to apply it in your life, you'll see how powerful this principle is, because, look, it frees you from the feeling of needing to be a people pleaser, okay? It frees you from the feeling of a lot of guilt. Like, a lot of people feel guilt, you know, look, I did all that for her and she's not happy. But if you know that, look, you did that for Allah, you did the best, and as long as you know you've done your best, then, at the end of the day, you can never please everybody. Not everybody's going to be happy with you, no matter what you do. But as long as you know you did that for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then that's what gives you peace of heart and mind, right? So you learning to live to please Allah alone, this helps you to live in a way that you don't have to worry. You become freed. You basically become freed from the imprisonment of worrying about the opinions of others, okay? So, and this leads me to talk about, you know, one of the things we're seeing, unfortunately, in these times is that a lot of people, you know, we see them like going into like compromising their Islamic values, you know, maybe even compromising practicing their deen. And what is the reason behind it? Because, for example, when some money comes up or a chance to, you know, get more fame or, you know, other things, all the temptations of this dunya, right? Then unfortunately you'll find them, you know, letting go of their principles, letting go of their practices of the deen, seeking to please others or seeking to get that gain in dunya, right? So, you know, we've got to remind ourselves that it might seem like they're getting ahead. Like, some people might look at them and think, wow, they're really getting ahead in what they're doing, right? But you have to realize that let me tell you something, sisters and brothers, if you're out there, let me tell you that over and over again, what I have seen is that, you know, whenever a person, and may Allah protect us, none of us are perfect, right? Absolutely not. But the reality is that every time you choose dunya and pleasing people over pleasing Allah, you'll find that it will ultimately be something that weakens you, all right? It's ultimately going to be something that weakens you. Ultimately, as well, you'll find that it, in fact, will cause you to lose respect of people in the end as well, okay? And what is the reason for that? What is the reason for that? Because number one, it weakens you spiritually, right? If you're going into what Allah is not pleased with, you're weakened spiritually by that. And the other thing is that Allah leaves you. You don't have the help of Allah anymore, right? And you can see this, it's mentioned in a hadith, narrated in Ibn Hibban and At-Tirmidhi. It's mentioned by Aisha, radiallahu anha, in which she said that man iltamasa ridha an-nas, whoever goes seeking the, you know, the pleasure of the people, bi sakhatillah, you know, whoever goes seeking the pleasure of people while they're displeasing Allah, sakhatallahu alayh. In fact, Allah will end up being displeased with them. Wa asqata alayhi an-nas, and he'll cause the people to be displeased with them ultimately, right? And the other part of the hadith says, and whoever seeks to please Allah, even though people are not pleased with them, people might not be pleased with what you're doing or what you're saying, but as long as you're doing that sincerely for the sake of Allah, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will be pleased with you, and eventually he'll cause people to be pleased with you. So once you know this principle, this is a very empowering principle. And this is why I always say too that, you know, many times are going to come up in your life where Allah is going to test you to choose, who do you love more? You know, who do you love more? And, you know, basically, and this is why we need to be saying to ourselves each time, when if you want to think about how to be successful in this life and the next, right? We don't want to be successful in this life at the expense of the next. Okay, so if you want to be successful in this life, you need, and in the next as well, you need to be asking yourself, is what I'm saying pleasing to Allah? Is what I'm doing pleasing to Allah, or am I just saying that and, you know, or doing that just to make people happy with me, if that's the only reason, right? So, you know, finishing up on this point, you know, learn to live your truth. You know, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes your voice is going to shake, but you've got to realize that all strength, all izzah, all strength, all honor is with Allah Ta'ala alone. And that's why we've got to keep on turning back to that. The next thing I want to mention as well in how to be a strong Muslimah, inshallah, may Allah help us all to be that one, bi'idhnillah. And that is, you've got it, knowledge is very, very important, okay? When I talk about knowledge of Allah, know who is Allah, right? Knowledge of Allah's names and attributes, knowledge of your deen. you know, knowledge of your rights in Islam as well as a Muslimah, right? So knowledge is one of the greatest forms of empowerment. If, you know, especially if you want to be strong in your identity as a Muslimah, okay? If you want to feel confident in raising your voice against injustice and oppression, you need to have strong knowledge to start off with. You want to do all these things, like a lot of people want to do all these things. How much have you worked on, you know, strengthening your knowledge base to start off with, okay? Now, I want to give an example here. Look at Aisha, radiallahu anha. You know, ask yourself, what was it that gave her the leverage to be able to have the confidence to speak up for the truth and not worry about what other people thought about her, okay? It was her knowledge. And, you know, so many times you'll see how Aisha, radiallahu anha, would, you know, fearlessly correct statements said by even some of the heads of Sahaba, right? Like, there was a time, I love this narration, you know, where Aisha, radiallahu anha, she heard Abdullah ibn Umar telling women that when they don't go to take horse after janaba, like after being intimate with their husbands, that they have to undo all their braids because they used to, you know, they used to braid their hair, many tight braids. And so he was telling them that they have to undo all their braids every single time they take wuz, you know, from a janaba. And so what does she say? She says, this is very strange on the part of Ibn Umar. You know, he's telling women to undo their braids when they do a ghusl. Why doesn't he just go tell them to shave their heads? And then she says, she gives the proof. She said, verily, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I used to take ghusl in one vessel, and I never did more than pour water over my head 3 times, right? And this hadith is in Muslim, okay? So see here, you know, because she's got the knowledge, no one can push her around, and she feels confident to speak up against injustice. And this is the problem a lot of sisters have. They don't, you don't know your rights to start off with, so you're not able to stand up for yourself, okay? So it's very important. And this is what we find, unfortunately, a lot of women found themselves in these disempowering situations. What is the reason? Because they don't have knowledge. And realize, my dear sisters, and of course brothers too, you know, when you don't have the knowledge, it's so easy for people to take advantage of you and push you into accepting, you know, situations that you should never have to accept. Like over the years, I can't even tell you how many reverts I saw, you know, unfortunately, you know, because of, they're always the ones in general taken advantage of in particular. What is the reason? She's a target because she doesn't have the knowledge to start off with. So unfortunately, she becomes a target for people to, you know, take advantage of her. And, you know, if we look at the state of our women in this ummah, okay, what is one of the reasons why there is a lot of, we do find a lot of disempowerment amongst our sisters? Because unfortunately, for many hundreds of years, they were shut out of the masajid. You know, like they didn't get the chance to learn about their, you know, learn the knowledge of their deen, and to, you know, that some places, as we know, in some places in the world, there's not even a place for them to come. And I'm not talking about just in one mosque. I'm talking about in all the mosques, okay? Of course, we understand that not every masjid may be able to provide a place. But when we're talking about every single masjid, you know what I mean? Then this is a problem. And then we find, why do we find our sisters having such a lack of knowledge? And they are the ones, you know, raising the next generation. And yet, subhanAllah, you know, and if women don't have that knowledge, then like I said, it's so easy for them to be taken advantage of. The man, you know, her husband can just, or anyone in her family can just basically tell you, just do this, you know, and she just readily accepts because she's scared of Allah. She, you know, she wants to do the right thing. And unfortunately, they get manipulated into doing things that they would never have accepted had they had the knowledge, you know, that leverage to know that, no, this is not right. I shouldn't accept this. Allah gave me this right. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told me this. Okay, sisters, that's very important. But the fourth point that I want to mention as well is, you know, you need to also know your self-worth. It's very important. You need to work on your self-esteem because, like, you could have the knowledge and, you know, and all of these things. You're trying really hard. You say, well, I pray 5 times a day. I do everything. But for some reason, I don't feel confident, you know. So often it's because you need to work on your self-esteem. You need to know your self-worth. Like, unfortunately, we all know that a lot of sisters just self-hate. They hate themselves. They can't even... I've known some poor sisters that if I was to ask them, tell me something good about yourself, she said, there's nothing good about me. Okay, so this is something very worrying when someone can't even tell you one good thing about themselves. I mean, the fact that Allah chose you to be a Muslimah, there must be so many great virtues in you. Okay, and I just want to mention that, you know, one of the things that I learned from Aisha, she was not afraid to mention her self-worth. Okay, of course, we're not talking about being arrogant. Okay, we shouldn't go into arrogance. But like sometimes there are times and places where you need to be able, someone, especially when someone's putting you down, you need to be able to state your worth and not let people tread on your dignity. Okay, so like we know sometimes with Aisha, she wasn't afraid to say, all of you other wives, your families married you to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Allah is the one who married me to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, and the Quran, Allah chose. Allah Ta'ala chose my house for the Quran to be revealed in it, you know? So she would mention these type of things. I learned that from her, subhanAllah. So this is we have to try to implement this for ourselves. Another thing is to learn how to become assertive. This is very empowering for women and for anyone, in fact, not just women, anyone, who, especially if you've been a person who's gone through some type of oppression in your life, learn to become more assertive. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean being aggressive. Like we already spoke about, strength is not aggressiveness, okay? So a lot of women have trouble in navigating this. Like you'll find when you're younger, you tend to be a lot more passive. You tend to be, I'm being patient. You don't say anything. A lot of things are going on. People are treading on your dignity. You just be quiet. I'm doing this for Allah, you say to yourself. But then one day you can't take it anymore. And then she goes the opposite direction. She ends up becoming totally aggressive, taking out everybody, you know. So it is important to go and read up, you know, sisters, about how to be assertive. It's like a middle ground. It's about stating how you feel. You know, you're allowed to have feelings. You're allowed to not be happy with things that don't make you feel good. And to be able to state that confidently, but not in an aggressive way, but like to be heard. You know, you have a right to be heard, right? So, like I said, it's important that you go and read about that, because it takes probably inshallah have a session on that with the sisters, you know, to explain about it. But you know, it does take practice as well. Like you can read about it, but then it's going to take practice to build that up. Like it's not easy in the beginning because you're so used to not speaking up for how you feel. And, you know, but an example, I'll just give you a quick example. Like to say, you know, look, I understand that you might have meant that. However, I felt like I just want to let you know that I did feel, you know, upset when that happened. You know, for example, you know, so you acknowledge the other person, you try to give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe they didn't do that on purpose and they didn't mean to hurt your feelings. However, when they did that to you, it made you feel sad. It made you feel like maybe worthless when you said something like that to me. It's important to be able to convey your feelings and how you feel. And one thing that does help too is look for assertive people around you. You'll find that there are some people who are like some women are able to confidently like sort of state how they feel when they feel like someone's trodden on their dignity and put them down in some way. You'll find that they will follow that up. They'll let the person know, like not be passive aggressive, where instead of going and talking to the person openly about that, you go behind their back and start gossiping about them, backbiting them because you know you're so upset about what they've done, but you don't do something about it. So, you know, being assertive is about taking control of the situations. Another thing as well, this is like my second last point, inshallah, and that is learn how to take responsibility for your own life. It's very important that sisters learn how to do this. Like, you know, we need to stop the blame my circumstances game and, you know, feeling sorry for ourselves mentality. Like we do fall into this a lot. And this can be on the home front, you know, in our houses, but even in the ummah as well, it plays into that as well, because like we can just sit here and feel sorry for ourselves as women, you know, oh, look at us, you know, all these things are happening to us in the world. But what are we doing about it, sisters? You understand? So we need to take proactive measures to change our situation for the better and not just like get in that victim mentality, whether, as I said, on the home front or in the wider ummah front. Okay. And one of my favorite hadiths from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us how to be that mu'min qawi. He tells us exactly how to be that strong Muslim, how to be that strong believer, right? Al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allahi min al-mu'min al-dayif. I already told you that part of the hadith before, that the strong mu'min is better and more loved to Allah than the weak mu'min, even though both, there's khayr in both, right? But what does he tell us to do? Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Like, focus on what benefits you, right? وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْجَزْ. And seek the help of Allah and don't despair and don't give up hope. And don't just give up. Keep going with your efforts, right? وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٍ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Like if something goes wrong and things don't work out the way you were hoping, don't sit there and say, oh, if only I did that, or if only I did that, you know, then it, you know, this would, it would have been like this. It would have been better, right? Or it wouldn't have worked out like that. But what you should say instead is say, Qaddarallahu wa ma sha'a fa'al. What Allah destined, yani what He willed to happen, happened, and what yani and what He destined to happen, happened. This is what we need to be saying. Because there's no use. Because once you start, you know, once you start saying, if only I did that, or if only that happened, or, you know, and you beat yourself up about it, what does it do? As the Messenger of Allah told us, but inna law, this word law, this word if only, taftahu amal ash-shaytan. It opens up the doors of shaitan. It opens up the you know, you open the door for shaitan to come and whisper to you, oh, look at, you know, and you start regretting and you start having anxiety and all of these things, subhanAllah. So, like, look, the bottom line is, you know, we need to be proactive. Like, our Islam teaches us to be proactive. No matter how impossible the circumstances may be, you do whatever is in your power. And I find it amazing that, you know, Allah Ta'ala chose Maryam alayhi salam when she's in her ultimate situation of, like, you know, helplessness. You know, what does He tell her? Wahuzzi ilayki bijidin nakhla. Like, go, you know, go to the nakhla, like, go to the nakhla, even though she's heavily in, you know, in labor and all of these things, in absolute helplessness. But He tells her, go and shake the palm tree, even though it takes 10 men, 10 strong men couldn't even shake a palm tree, right? But He tells her, go shake the palm tree in order for the dates, the ripe dates, or the provision to be falling down. And Allah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will come to you, but you're taking that small action, even though it might seem hopeless and almost impossible for that help to come to you at that moment. So we learn from her story that to take the action, no matter how small it is, not, you know, don't feel hopeless. Just keep on going and seeking the help of Allah, right? So the last thing is, know with certainty, know with your heart and mind that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no, you know, there is no power and there is no strength except with Allah Ta'ala. So none of us can be truly strong without the help of Allah. And, you know, what brings weakness is depending on others. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told us, man ta'allaqa shay'an wukila ilayh. Whoever puts their whole, you know, dependence into something, you'll be left to that. Allah will leave you to that. So that's why, you know, we shouldn't just only depend on our own efforts. We need to always, you know, of course you need to do something yourself, but you need to ultimately, first and foremost, put your dependence upon Allah to achieve all of your aims. All right. So, and if you look at Musa alayhi salam, as strong as Musa was, and he's a prophet and messenger, as strong as he was, but what does he say? Rabbi shrah li sadri. You know, he turns to Allah and says, Ya Allah, open up my chest. Wa yassir li amri. Make my affair easy for me. SubhanAllah. So I'll wrap it up, inshallah, for today. But I just want to wrap up by saying, you know, that, you know, the reality is that, let's say this, that the Muslim woman who is connected to Allah, she is the strongest woman on earth. And we should be the strongest woman on earth, right? If we had that true connection with Allah, we can be the strongest women on earth. But the most important thing, my dear sisters, is to, you know, teach yourself how to be that pillar of strength, right? We need to teach ourselves how to be that pillar of strength. And one of the main ways to do that, like I said, is to reflect upon the vast examples that Allah Ta'ala has given us of all of these strong women. And, you know, and just ask yourself, when you face a particular situation, you know, what would Aisha have done in this situation? What would Khadija have said in this situation? And then you'll know how to act, inshallah, as a strong Muslimah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ.